preach this morning. Not because I necessarily want to cut the service short for your sake, but my sake. I took a little medicine between Sunday school and preaching, and sometimes that medicine hits the wrong button. And if it hits the wrong button, Brother Hall is not, I'm not in good shape. So, and I feel like it may have hit that wrong button this morning. And so I'm going to try to go ahead and preach while I can preach. And if I, Brother Gray, if I happen to drop out of it, you just jump up here and hook up right where I leave off and finish it up. Amen. All right, I'm actually standing together with me this morning. Turn in your Bible to the book of Genesis and chapter number 27. And I mean that. I'm not cutting the singing short. I was enjoying the song service tremendously this morning. The songs that we sang were wonderful. But I'm feeling a little squeezy where it ought not to be. And the medication I take sometimes does me that way. And I may or may not be that. I just feel like I am a little. You never know if it's going to get worse or stay the same. So rather than take a chance of it getting worse, I'm just simply going to go ahead and preach right now. If I can finish, fine. If I can't, well, like I said, Brother Gray will just run up here. He can hook up. He can hook up just like a train hooking up, buddy, one car to the next one. Amen. All right. Genesis in chapter number 27 in the Word of God. And I want to pick up reading. And in verse number 20, if I may. Verse number 20. The Bible said, "And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly?" Now, Isaac has sent Esau out to get venison, saying, "Make him savory meat that he enjoys to eat." And you know the story. While he's away, his wife gets the younger son, Jacob, and fixes the situation so Jacob can receive the blessing other than Esau. And the reason I'm taking my time on that, I want to repeat that again in just a moment in a little different manner, okay? And go on and read. And it said in verse 21, "And Isaac said unto Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, Art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am." What a lie. Woo. "And he said, Bring it near to me that I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine with and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, Come now near and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee." I want to stop reading right there and try to bring the thought God's laid on my heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do love you. I thank you, Lord, for the good Sunday school time and the song service. My heart has already been stirred this morning and moved and blessed. I'm so grateful for it. Lord, what a great God You are. You know to give us exactly what we stand in need of, when we need it, and how to get it to us. And I pray this morning You'll bless every family that's here, every soul, that You'll give liberty, Lord, to preach the Word of God, give physical strength and anoint with power from the Spirit of God, that we might have unction from Thee as well. May the oil of the Holy Ghost rest upon Your preacher this morning, and may the words that flow from my lips come from the very heart of God. It might be a blessing and a help to Your people. And Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to preach this morning on the thought for a little while on Jacob's blessings, how Isaac blessed Jacob. Now, if you've read in the book of Genesis, I'm sure you're aware that Jacob and Esau were brothers. In fact, they were twin brothers, but they definitely wasn't identical twins. Esau was the eldest, the firstborn, and the Bible said that he was a hairy man and that his body was red. In fact, he became what is called the father of the Edomites. And he was a man of the field. He was a hunter. And Isaac loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Isaac loved Esau because of the venison that he provided for him. Now, Esau was a hairy man, a man of the field. And in so being, he was a type of the natural man. He was a very worldly man, no doubt. He sold his birthright for a pot of soup, a pot of pottage, to Jacob. And the Bible says that he stole the blessing. But really, Esau simply gave it away. And when it came time for Isaac to pass that blessing on to the eldest son, which was Esau, Rebekah heard about it, heard what he said. And while Esau was going to the field, she sent Jacob out into the flock, and he fetched a kid of the flock, kid of the goats, and it was brought into her, and she dressed it and sent it in to at the hands of Jacob, that he might receive the blessing rather than Esau. And of course, Jacob was concerned about that, and he said, "My brother is a hairy man, and my father will be able to discern the difference." And so Rebekah took the fur off of the animal that was killed and put it on his hands and the back of his neck, and put on Esau's clothes on him, and sent him in to his father. And his father, he heard the voice, Jacob's voice, but he said, "The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are the hands of Esau." You know, Isaac was not nearly the spiritual man, is what a lot of people think he was. He was far from being spiritual. In fact, in this passage of Scripture, he went on feelings rather than on hearing. The voice that he heard was that of Jacob's. And we'd be wise to listen to what we hear. As Brother Steve said in Sunday school, listen to what's going on and listen to what we hear rather than going on our feelings. Isaac here went on he heard the voice, but he went on the feelings. He said, "The hands are the hands of Esau." He said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And the blessing was given unto Jacob. Now, the Bible said there in verse number 27 that Jacob said, Isaac said unto him to come near, and he kissed him, and he smelled the smell of the raiment, and he blessed him, and began to bless him. Now, here is the blessings, and I want to go through these very quickly, and then make application to us for the day. But the first blessing that he gave him, he said that in verse number 27, he said he came near and kissed him and smelled his raiment and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of the field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Now, as Jacob drew near to kiss his father, the smell of his clothes with the scent of the field suggested to the patriarch's mind the very image that was before him, and really the image of his son's future prosperity that he was to have. So he saw him as taking possession of the land. And then it was full of future blessings as well. Now, I believe it's worthy to notice here, and I want you to pay attention to what I'm getting ready to say, and I'll get to the message in a minute. I believe it's worthy to notice here that Isaac refers to the Lord, refers to him from whom all blessings flow, that is the Lord, as Elohim. In other words, the personal God, and not Jehovah, who is the God of the of covenant. And I think he's simply saying here that God would be Jacob's personal God. That would be his God. And he ought to be personal to him. You know, I want to say this to you and I this morning, that we ought to have a personal relationship Amen. With the Lord. Now, I'm glad that the Lord is your God, but as they say down south, I'm even gladder that He's mine. I thank God that we have a personal relationship one with another. I don't depend upon your relationship with God to receive my blessings that I need. I don't even depend upon my wife's relationship to God for the desired blessings that I have. But I rely upon my relationship with the Lord. And I want to say this, if you're saved this morning, each of us that is saved has a personal relationship with the Lord. And it may differ one from another. I know in personal families, and you know this as well as you know you're living, that for the most part, the children of families, especially large families, will have a different relationship with mom and daddy one from another than what each other have. Each one of them will have a somewhat of a different relationship with their mother and with their father. But here is a blessing being pronounced upon Jacob from Elohim, who is his personal God. I want to mention that first blessing. He said, God give thee of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the land, and plenty of corn and wine. Now I want you to notice, this is a land that is blessed with the dew of heaven, a dry land that's blessed with the dew of heaven. God said, I'm going to give you a land that is blessed with moisture, and then I'm going to give you a land whose soil is fruitful. And so the first blessing really that Jacob receives here, he is promised a fruitful life. You know, and I think that's something that every one of us in here today ought to desire, is to have a fruitful and a spiritual life for the glory and honor of God. I don't know about you, but I want to be fruitful. In other words, I want to produce something in my life that'll please God. I want to see my life produce a holy living. I want to see my life produce righteousness. That'll bring glory to God. I want to see my life produce worship and praise that will certainly glorify the Lord Jesus. And I want to glorify Him in all that is said and done. And so He's promised a fruitful life. And He did have it. I don't have time to go into everything about Jacob's life. If I mentioned everything that was fruitful in his life, we'd be here all day long just trying to get through this one point. Because his life had many ways, many times, this point is proven out that his life was in a fruitful manner. But I want to say just a couple of things about it, then make application. I want to say that he had a fruitful family. Now I realize that Jacob had many troubles, and Jacob had many trials, and in his life, and his family also. But his family also excelled in many ways. His family's boys had a lot of trouble. If you'll read back and read through their life, they wasn't a perfect set of boys. Judah wasn't, and neither was Simeon, neither was Levi, neither was Issachar. I don't know any of them that led a perfect life. But yet I can look back and see where the Lord blessed Jacob and his family and give him a fruitful family. And I say, that's right. He gave him a very fruitful family. And two ways I see that. Number one is in Joseph, the life of Joseph. There was a young man that was hated by his brethren. He was sold into slavery. He was cast into prison. And yet he was exalted to be governor over all the land of Egypt. Now, can you get a hold of this? This is a perfect type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a man that was hated by his brethren. The Lord, the Bible said the Lord came unto his own, but his own received him not. Israel would have absolutely nothing to do with the Son of God. Although he came to his own had absolutely nothing to do with him. They rejected him. They rebelled against him. When they crucified him, they cried out and said, "We will not have this man to rule over us." Well, I want to sort of notice on that crowd that there's coming a day that he will rule over them. He's going to rule over them. You can mark that down. And Joseph here it becomes a perfect type of the Lord Jesus, hated by his brethren, but yet he was sold into slavery. Somebody said, "Well, where did the Lord come into that?" Our Lord was sold on the slave market of sin for you and I. He died in our place in the slave market of sin. And then he was exalted to the position of governor of Egypt. And there's coming a day when our Lord will be exalted in this world, will set up on the throne of his father David, and will rule and reign with a rod of iron. And so that first promise was a promise of him being fruitful. Notice what it said about him being fruitful. It said in verse number 29, in verse 28, "Therefore God give thee the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine." And so God blessed Jacob in that way. Now, Joseph also was sent into Egypt. And Egypt being a type of the world and he was sent there before his brethren, and he became the preserver of life. I'm amazed at that that he was sent there before his brethren, and he became the preserver of life. A perfect type of our Lord. Was not our Lord before us? Sure he was. There never has been a time when Christ was not. He always has been. And he was sent before his people to be a preserver of them. Now, I stand amazed at that. Somebody said, "Why, Brother Hall?" Because it wasn't Jacob that was the preserver. He was the father over all the family. You would think if anybody was going to preserve the family, it'd be the father. But not in this case. It was Joseph the son. And that makes him a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it wasn't the Father that preserved you and I. We're preserved in Christ Jesus and called. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I'm sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption, that we are preserved in the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, the seal that I have on me is not about to spring a leak, ladies and gentlemen. No, sir. Those whom he saves, he preserves. He shelters neath the covert of his wing. He hides us in the cleft of the rock. He covers us there with his hand. We're protected by his power. We've been blessed with his mercy. We've been bestowed upon by a bountiful grace. We've been given everything that's needed in this life, and in that which is to come has been provided for also. And it has come through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to tell you, Joseph provided everything for his brethren. He even showed them mercy. When they came to him in real and he revealed himself to them, they feared that he would kill them. But Joseph said, "I'm not, don't have fear, because he said, I'm not going to harm you. He said, I was sent before you by God that I might preserve you in the way. And that it was, hallelujah, sent before them by God to preserve them in the way. Now, he was sent into Egypt as a type of Christ, and before his brethren came, and he was a preserver of life, which is a perfect type of Christ. And as I've already said, it was the Son that was a preserver and not the Father. And I magnify that. Then there was Judah, not only Joseph, but there's Judah also in the family of God. Now, if you know anything about the Bible, you know that it was through the lineage of Judah, and I'll get to the message in just a minute. It was through the lineage of Judah that came the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's right. Judah, he came from the tribe of Judah. And I'm sure you've read where the Lord is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Judah, as a lion, he fears none and conquers all. Isn't that our Lord? I don't know anybody our Lord fears. I don't know a man in heaven nor in earth, nor any being in heaven or earth. Not even the devil himself does our Lord fear. He has no fear of any, and he's been sent to conquer all. And he will conquer all. He's already conquered sin. He's already conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's already conquered Satan. I'm going to tell you, the last thing he's got to overcome is your flesh and my flesh. And by the grace of God, he's going to do it someday. When this corruption will put on incorruption, he will conquer this flesh as well. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He fears none and he conquers all. Judah does. And then the word Judah also means praise. And I marvel at that. That our Lord came through that particular tribe, meaning praise. Should you and I not offer our praise to God? Church, I'm telling you, we're so far behind on praising God. Brother, we come to the house of God. And I'm going to tell you what. He inhabiteth the praises of his people. We ought to come to the house of God with it in, with set in our heart and in our mind that we're going to come and feast on the riches of God's grace. We're going to feast on the Word of God, and we're going to praise Him and adore Him, amen, and worship Him that gave His life on the cross that you and I might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Now I'm telling you, we're so far behind on praising the Lord. You read the last five chapters in the book of Psalms, and I'm telling you, every one of them begins with the word praise and ends with the word praise. And chapter 150 has got the word praise in it. 13 times in one little old chapter, the Bible mentions the word praise. Now I'm going to tell you something. That the word being used that many times, I believe we ought to praise the Lord. I really believe that. I mean, we come to the house of God. Hey, somebody said, how do you do it? Just do it. Yes. Amen. Oh, it would embarrass me. It's about time you mortified your flesh. Right. It's about time you mortified your flesh. Somebody said, now, if you worship God, if you get up too much, you'll be in the flesh. I'm going to tell you, honey, if you ever start worshiping Him out of the flesh down here, I'm out of here. I'm going to tell you that right now. You'll catch that in the slow freight. Everybody in here is my saved by the grace of God. But you're still in this old clay body, in this body of flesh. And don't tell me that we cannot, hey, in this body of clay offer praise and worship unto our God. Why shouldn't we? He has bestowed upon you and I the blessings that He bestowed upon Jacob, amen, the son of Isaac, as Isaac did. And I'm telling you, you and I ought to praise Him. He deserves our praise and wants our praise and desires our praise. And we ought to praise Him. We ought to praise Him. That's right. Now, there's a second blessing here. He said, let people, talking about, now this is Isaac, blessing Jacob. He said, let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Boy, I like that. But yeah, I don't know of any nation that ever bowed down to Jacob. But I'm going to tell you something. There's one coming. There's one on the way. That's greater than Jacob. And that when it's on the way, every knee is going to bow to him. And every tongue is going to confess to him that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, in that particular blessing, it gives reference to the universal dominion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, I'm telling you, that there will come a day when he will reign universally over all the world. Every nation, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl is going to have to bow their knee and confess to him that he is Lord. You know something, what I'm waiting on? I'm waiting on the day, hey, it said every knee. And I really believe with all my heart that Slewfoot's got a knee.
Yes.
Buddy, I'm waiting on the day when the devil himself is going to have to get on his knees and look Jesus in the face and say, thou art Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's coming, ladies and gentlemen. And it'll come because of the blessing, amen, that's been bestowed upon you and I. Oh, I know it was Isaac blessing Jacob, but it runs deeper than that. It runs into the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blessings and grace and mercy that he bestows upon you and I. Say amen right there. Amen. That's right. That is right. His ultimate reign over all nations. So, he is blessed. Jacob is blessed with a plentiful life. He said in verse 28, therefore God give thee dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. So he's blessed with a plentiful life. I'm telling you, we run around with our... I want Brother Steve one of these days when I'm preaching. I'm going to get him to come up here and show you how he can give the pooch lip. Brother, he can do... I mean, he gives me and Brother Gray the pooch lip all the time. Mocking us, young. Some way like that. But I'm going to tell you, us Baptists are exactly that way.
Amen.
Brother, we run around so much with the pooch lip, and yet God has blessed us... in life with a plenty. We've got corn and wine. Amen. That's right. And we've got the dew of heaven upon us. God has blessed us in so many ways, the songwriter said. Oh, thank God. That's right. Amen. And so he blessed him with a plentiful life. Then he blessed him with power in this life. In this life. Power, particularly over his brethren. And namely Esau and his brethren. He gave him power over them. When he came back with his family from down in Haran. Oh, Esau, he feared Esau. And I'm going to tell you, God gave him the victory. He wrestled with the Lord all night and the Lord gave him the victory. And I'm going to tell you, looked old Esau right square in the face and came out victorious over him. That's right. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, there's no need for you and I to fear. There's no need for you and I to fear. Hey, there is no need for us to fear because I'm telling you, the one greater than Jacob is here today.
Yes.
Thank God. Oh, yes. And I'm going to tell you, he is able to stand between you and I and every fiery dart that the devil may sling our way. He is able to divinely intervene for you and I. Amen. And fight our battles for us, and not only fight, but come out with victory and blessing for you and I at the same time. Amen. And also, I see a prevalency here with God. And that is that he had a great interest in heaven. He said, cursed be everyone that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. Sounds like the same blessing Abraham got, if you ask me. And that word prevalency simply means that Jacob was able to prevail. And he did prevail when he wrestled with the Lord all night. But I believe he was prevailing. Oh, he was a supplanter. He was a supplanter. Ain't no doubt about that. But friend, I may not mention too much of this. I might want to mention tonight. He was a supplanter, And I'm going to tell you, there came a time when he wasn't a set planner any longer. He was a prince with God and with man because he had power. Amen. Because he wrestled with God all night and prevailed, the Bible says, over God. Now I'm going to ask you something. He was honored. He was honored. God honored him. Somebody said, do you think he actually whooped God? No. I think the Lord allowed it to take place. God honored him to prevail in prayer and be called a prince. To be called a prince. Now, I want to say two or three things. Now, you just stick with me. I'm going to make some application. Some minor things that we call minor that are really major. No, and that's just a few of those blessings. Isaac blessed his boy. And, you know, I'm amazed at this, Brother George. After the blessing, Esau is so mad that he's going to kill his own brother. And Jacob's mother said, your brother is upset. Said, you better go down to my brother's house, down to Laban's house, and dwell down there for a few days. Spent 14 years, I believe. Yes. Go down there for a few days until his wrath is passed and his anger is passed. Then everything will be all right. You know, when he left, the first place that he came to in chapter number 28, the Bible said that in verse 11, that he lighted upon a certain place. And tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. Now here's a dream. He saw a ladder up into heaven and Christ standing at the top of that ladder. And he saw angels going up and down, moving up and down on that ladder. And he said in verse number 17, he was afraid. I would have been too. He said he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? Here's the first blessing. I'm amazed at it. I'd never seen it before. But he had just been blessed by his daddy and left home. And he comes to a place, lays down on some stones, goes to sleep, has a dream. In that dream, he sees these angels, sees Christ at the top of that ladder. And here's the statement he makes in verse number 17. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, I want you to come on in the house right here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm fixing to skin some of you stinking hide up one side and down the other. The very first thing he found, as a blessing, he found the house of God. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, when somebody gets saved by the grace of God, the first thing they ought to find is the house of God. And he had such a love for it that he slept on some stones. And when he left the next morning, he anointed those stones with oil, set them up as a pillar, and called them Bethel, the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, that place meant something in the life of Jacob. Now, I'm here to tell you the house of God ought to mean something to you and I today. You realize that it was there in the house of God the first time Jacob ever met the Lord was there in the house of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's been a whole lot of people the first time they ever met God was down at the church house.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the house of God. There's no house like this house. Amen. It's not my house or your house. Thank God it ain't the White House. Somebody say amen right there. It's God's house. And God's house is a whole lot greater than my house, your house, or the White House, or all of them put together.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, we ought to have a little respect for God's house. And we ought to be faithful to God's house. This old business of just laying out of church and laying out and making every stupid excuse under the sun, as far as I'm concerned, is a bunch of nonsense and junk. If you don't love God's house any more than that, I don't have much confidence in your salvation. I'll tell you that right up front. And if you don't like that, you can love that neighbor. I can care less. He was blessed. And the first thing he found from that blessing was the house of God.
Amen.
Amen. And he named it that. The second time he went there, he met God. He called it the God of the house of God, El Bethel. The God of the house of God. He knew there was somebody in that house, and somebody in that house was God. Hey, when we come to church, do we come realizing this is God's house, and not only God's house, but God's in this house? Is this El Bethel? Is this God in the house of God? Is it? Let me ask you. If it's not, boy, we better get on our knees and start praying. I'm glad I found the house of God on that Sunday morning. We're back in 1970. Lost and without God. But I'm going to tell you, I found a house that morning. Didn't look like much on the outside nor the inside. But I'm going to tell you what was going on the inside was more than my heart could handle. It was there on the inside of the house of God that God got a hold of the inside of me. Woo! Amen. That's right. Turned my life around. Amen. Gave me a hope of glory down in my soul and blessed me with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'm going to tell you, I have got a dear love for God's house. I don't see how somebody can call themselves a Christian and not love the house of God. That'd be like saying you don't love your father's house. Oh, you Bremen folks, just don't go over at Brother Robert's Miss Sue's no more. You know you are. I miss my mommy and daddy's house. I drive by it and they're not there anymore. Wouldn't it be sad to drive by God's house and God not be there anymore? Wouldn't it be sad to drive by and Ichabod be written on the door until I say, God's house isn't, God's not in God's house anymore. It's still God's house, but God ain't in the house. God help us. Our first blessing was that he found the house of God. Amen and amen. That's right. He found the house of God. Now notice secondly, he not only found the house of God, but notice in verse number 17, he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, you're not going to heaven by being a member of the church. That's not what the Bible's saying. You can join the church all you want to and be lost as a goose, lost. I mean, that's what the Catholics believe. You join the church and get baptized when you're a baby. And you're in the church and you're going to heaven. That ain't true. They still tares among the wheat today in God's house. Amen. Come on in the house now. God's house I'm talking about. Yeah. But he found the gate of heaven. That gate. Now I'm not dogmatic about this. And I wouldn't argue with you about it. But I've read some of the old preachers that talked about being around the wicket gate. Being around that gate outside the tabernacle that was set up in the wilderness. And people standing around that gate, waiting or trying or hoping they could get on the inside. Because just inside that gate, the first thing that was there was the altar of the burnt sacrifices. They were people gathered around that thing, waiting to get in so they could make their sacrifice or bring in their sacrifice. That's right. And I'm going to tell you, they had to do that every year, ladies and gentlemen. They had to bring that sacrifice every year. And so really, what he's saying is, that sacrifice, this is the gate of heaven, and why it's the gate of heaven, on the inside is a sacrifice. And they had to have a sacrifice. Them Old Testament saints had to have a sacrifice. But you know what I see more than that? That word gate also means another little word. And you can, I mean, don't fuss with me. I'm not going to argue with you. But we're not on that side of Calvary. We're on this side of Calvary. So we're not standing around the gate waiting to get into the sacrifice. The sacrifice has already been made. We're out of wait for the sacrifice. Well, we had to wait for the sacrifice. It's already been paid. But I'm going to tell you where we are standing. Hey, it was the gate of heaven to Jacob, and I'm going to tell you what it is to you and I. It's the door. It is the door, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes. We've done beyond the sacrifice. He's already made the sacrifice. We're not on that side of it. We're on this side of it, standing at the door. Now the question is, has the door opened unto you? If the door is open, it's no longer a door, it's a doorway.
Amen.
Amen. And everywhere I read, listen, everywhere I read, on the ark, the door was open till God shut it. That made it a doorway. Till the door. Amen. Those foolish virgins and wise virgins, hey, the door was open until God shut it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now I'm telling you right now, in the house of God, the door is open till God shuts it, sinner man, sinner woman. Don't tarry. Amen. You have been blessed. You have been blessed. God has blessed you and given you the door to heaven. Hey, if I can put it this way, no, I'm about ready to have a running fit. If I can put it this way, it was there that Jacob found Jesus that morning. You better believe it was. He's the gate. He's the door. He's the sacrifice. It was Him they're looking for. And it's Him, amen, that every sinner ought to be looking for today. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's right. Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. So, He found that. He found the gate of heaven. You and I today, we're living on the other side of the sacrifice. This is the gate. The gate is the door. Who is Jesus? He found Jesus.
Amen.
He found the house of God. He found the God of the house of God. He found Jesus. All from these blessings that were given Him. Now, we could turn right around and say that Isaac is a type of the Father that bestowed all these blessings upon the Son, that bestows all these blessings upon the people. I don't think you got it. I want to say the second thing you found was a blessing. And this is probably going to cook some of his goose. He found a wife.
Amen.
The Bible said when he got to Haran, he met Rachel. And the Bible said in verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. But when he woke up, it was Leah.
Amen.
And her daddy, Leah's daddy, said, you fulfill her week, you can have Rachel. And I believe a week later he got Rachel. But he had to serve 7 more years in order to get her. But he found a wife. You know what the Bible said about that? The Bible said, whoso findeth a wife. Now, I asked my wife this last night. The Bible said, whoso findeth a wife, get this now, findeth a good thing. I said, honey, are you a thing? That's in the Bible. I didn't. God wrote it. He said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. So, ladies, we start calling y'all things. Hey, thing. Come here, thing. But get that adjective. Get a hold of that adjective.
Amen.
Whoso findeth a wife just don't findeth a thing, but a good thing.
Amen.
God said a wife is good for him. If a wife wasn't good for a man, God would have never brought Eve to Adam.
Right.
Now I'm telling you, a man finds a wife, he's found a good thing. And I'm talking about a real wife. I'm not talking about Jezebel. I'm not talking about these heifers.
Go ahead.
Amen. That's right. I'm not talking about these guys running around with their paps hanging out, tattoos all over their body,
amen,
britches down over their hind ends.
Amen.
We used your gift card yesterday at the Cracker Barrel. Now I told Miss Hall, I said, I'm telling you right now, that whoever's at that cash register, boys, 3 boys, they had the britches down to here with a belt. I told my wife, I said, if they ask, how was everything today? I'm going to say everything was fine, except I'd prefer the boys to pull their britches up over their hind ends.
Amen.
They didn't ask. So it was no ask and no tell. But I'm telling you, you're looking at a man that would have told. Yeah, I'm not a bit afraid to tell. You better believe that's right.
Amen.
I'm telling you, I'm so sick and tired. The way people are dressing today, men and women alike,
right,
it's the most pitiful mess. These men These men wearing these little old cut-off shorts come down and over their backside and down about their knees and old baggy. I never in my life. Some of them hang so low, I don't know how they ever get anything out of their pocket. They have to get down on their knees to get their hand to the bottom of the pocket. I've never seen anything like it in my born days. But aren't you glad that we got blessed?
Amen.
Oh, we may stand out in the crowd, but we ought to.
Amen.
We ought to be noticed in the crowd as being different from the crowd.
Amen.
They can't help it, though. They're just sinners.
That's
right. And apart from the grace of God, you and I'd be out there in the same mess they're in.
Yes.
But oh, the blessing!
Yes.
The blessing of the Father fell on the Son, and the Son came to where you and I were, and blessed us with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and lifted us out of the depths of depravity and sin, and birthed us into the family of God. Bless His wonderful name. Shed His blood, gave His life, showed us mercy.
Hallelujah.
Or we'd be just like that crowd is out there. We have no room to boast, no place to boast. And certainly we have no reason to low rate those people. They're depraved. They don't know any better. May God have mercy on their soul as He has on ours. That's right. Aren't you glad though? And look here, but even what's worse, they're on their way to a Christless eternity. Can you imagine here when Esau come in, he said, Isaac said, "Who art thou, my son?" And he said, "I'm Esau, thy son, and here's your savior of me." He said, "I've come for my blessing." And Esau said, "Hey." In so many words, Isaac said, "I don't have any for you. I've already given it to your brother. I've been supplanted. I've been deceived by your brother. And the blessing that was yours is gone." Oh, they one day they'll stand, they'll hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you." The blessing is gone. It's too late. Others have come and got it, and they're gone. And there's no blessing left for you. God help them. God help a sinner that's on that broad way that's leading to destruction. Oh, but thanks be unto God for those of us that have found that straight and narrow way that leads unto life. I'm going to say few there be that find it. But oh, thank God I'm a few.
Amen.
No, I'm in a few. Don't that word sound crazy? Few.
Amen. Right.
I'm glad I'm numbered with a few.
Amen.
I'm not in the big crowds and don't need the big crowds. Amen. Them big churches running. Somebody told me the other day they went to meetings and some of the preachers we know were there. Had a fellow there run the church, 3,500. Big name preacher, boys. Well, he may be saying some things, but I doubt if he gets down too hard. I doubt if he preaches on too much on sucking cigarettes and watching television, drinking liquor. The way they dress and comb their hair,
right,
cut their hair. I doubt if he says too much about that. To keep that 3,500. I guarantee you, somebody could go in there and thin them out pretty quick.
Right.
Oh, yeah. But the only thing I've heard about, know about, you know what, if I can get Miss Ruth to do it, on what Brother Steve preached this morning, Sunday school, what Miss Hall had in the bulletin, what I had in the bulletin, and what I'm preaching tonight, if I can get Miss Ruth to do it, I want to see a banner right across up there above that Baptist tonight that says, "You gotta eat. You gotta eat. You'll get it tonight when I preach. You gotta eat."
Amen.
Hey God. I'm glad he can spread a table in the wilderness, brethren.
Amen.
He fed that 4,000, didn't he, in the wilderness. And they made the same statement they did, Brother Steve mentioned, over in the Old Testament. They said, "Can God really feed us all out here in this wilderness?" He said, "How many we got?" And they said, "We got 7 loaves. We've got 10 largemouth bass, anywhere from 12 to 15 pounds of feet." Well, he said, we got a few small fishes. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus can take a little and make a lot out of it. If he can take you and I, come on now,
yes, sir.
Who are absolutely nothing. We're worse than dirt. He took a handful of dirt and made us and put clothes on us. How much does that make us worth? Not much. Now, if he took 12 or 15 acres to make us, we might be worth a little bit in today's economy. Ground selling yourself for $10,000, $15,000, $25,000 an acre, we might be worth something. But a handful of dirt don't cost much. In fact, it says dust. You could probably go over to my house and on a piece of furniture right now, get enough to make 8 or 10 people off of one piece of furniture. Bless his wonderful name. He found a wife. He certainly did. He found a wife. I want to say something else he found. He found the power of God. When he returned from Haran back to go back to Canaan land, it was there in Genesis 32 that on his return to Canaan that he went back across the brook and he wrestled with God till the breaking of day. Wrestled all night long. And the Lord said unto him, said, what is thy name? In verse number 30, in verse number 27. And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. Now, I want to say something. I don't want nobody to get upset with me. His name was Israel. Come on now, listen to me carefully. God did change his name from supplanter to prince. But he was Jacob, now he's Israel. When he prevailed in that prayer with God, he not only become just a prince, but that word prince means he rules as God. Man. He rules as God. Right. Now listen to me carefully. Israel. God not only, he went from a Jacob, an individual, to Israel, a nation. And I'm telling you, there's coming a day. There's coming a day when God's people will rule and reign beside him on this earth. Hallelujah. And Israel is his chosen people. Call me whatever you want to. He chose them. They didn't choose him. He didn't choose them because they were many, large in number. Because they were any better than anybody else. He loved them just because he loved them. And he loved you and I just because he loves you and I. Hallelujah! Amen. Glory to God! And I'm going to say it was there that God endued him with power from on high. He went away from there walking a different way. Went away dragging that right leg. Because he lost the sinuous meat part up here in his top part of his leg. Now I'm going to tell you, what do you ever... You ever wrestle with God all night, you'll leave walking a different way too, friend.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. What about that? What a wrestling match. Wasn't tag team either.
Right.
Brother, they went at it. The Lord said, turn me loose. Now get this. I'm talking about Jacob being blessed of his father Isaac. Jesus said, turn me loose for the day breaketh. What did Jacob say? I will not except thou bless me.
Amen.
Woo! Yes! There's his blessing.
Amen.
He went from a person to a nation. He went from a supplanter to a prince. He went from a supplanter to have a authority and rule like a God, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
I'm telling you, this coming today, Israel will rule as a God in this world, as a nation. Better be careful. I don't know which our presidents, who's going to get elected. But I'm going to tell you what I hope, whichever one of them it is, they stand beside Israel. Because that blessing comes up again with Jacob when Isaac said, I'll bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you. So he found the power of God. You found the power of God in your life? Have you been blessed with it? Then I want to say in closing, in his life, and I'm just going with a broad spectrum. He found hope. He found hope. His boy Joseph, hated by his brethren, cast into a pit, sold into slavery, went down into Egypt, went into Potiphar's house and the prison house. Then he was exalted to governor of the land. And I believe with all my heart that Jacob thought all those years that boy was gone. And I personally believe that he had lost all hope of ever seeing that boy again. It's like a lot of people today. A lot of people today. I just read the other day where they found the body of a soldier in the Vietnam War. It's been over there, 40 years? Over 40 years, maybe? That he had been missing in action. They found his body. Can you imagine how his family felt? All they found was a few bones. But to that family, that was their boy. That was their son that they loved with all their heart. And I'm sure there were times in their life they said, we'll never know what happened to him. Jacob didn't. I mean, he's had the coat of many colors with blood. He didn't know what happened to Joseph. And his hope was gone. When those boys of his came back from Egypt,
right,
they said, Joseph, your son is yet alive. The Bible said that his spirit just sunk.
That's right.
He didn't believe them. But when he saw those wagons loaded with all the good things of Egypt,
yes, sir.
The Bible said his spirit came again. And he revived. You know what he said? All them years he'd lost all that hope of ever seeing his son again. He said, let the rise and go down to Egypt. Why? Why do you want to go, Jacob? I want to see my son one more time. He's yet alive. You hear what I said? He's yet alive.
Yes, sir.
Can I serve notice on some of you in here this morning? Yeah, here just for the last few minutes where some of you are living. Some of you think Jesus is dead. But I serve notice on all of you. He's still alive.
Amen.
He is alive, ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
I'm telling you what. Amen. If you've lost hope, that ought to be your revival sign this morning. That ought to be reviving in your heart that he's not dead. 3 days after he died, he got up. Yes, he got up out of the grave last night. And he's living right now. Oh, he's a living right now. Hallelujah. Somebody said, how do you know he lives? Because he lives within my heart.
Amen.
Woo!
Yes, amen.
Yes! Hallelujah. He lives. Have you lost your hope? Joseph found it. You can find yours too. If you've lost it. I trust you have it. Jacob's blessings. How Isaac blessed his boy. And all those blessings was in reference of one greater than Jacob. The Lord Jesus.
Amen.
One mightier than I or you. More glorious. He's wonderful.
That's right.
He's the Almighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. He's our Counselor. The government shall be upon His shoulders.
Right.
You can forget Bayrock and Willard. Mitt Romney. Name's Willard. And you can forget Putin. I started calling him something else. And whatever that dude's name is in China and Korea. You can forget all of them. The government's not going to be on their shoulders. It's going to be on Jesus' shoulders. And by the way, he's a God of government. He had 12 apostles, and 12 is a number of government. There's 12 around the throne in the book of Revelation, 12 from the Old Testament, 12 from the New Testament, 24, perfect number of government. He's a God of government. And one of these days he'll govern. He'll rule. He'll govern just like Isaac said he would. He'll govern. Let's stand together.